Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the volleyball team closes the regular season with a championship, a perfect week for the basketball teams, and cross country about to be represented at this weekend's national championships. A lot of good stuff going on, but we're going to start with football, who is now bowl eligible for a second straight season, 14th time it's happened in the FBS era for A-State football. The Red Wolves picking up win number 6 on Saturday at Georgia State by the final score of 27-20. And win number 6 feels pretty darn good to see this team go back to a bowl. Mark Taylor had actually sent me a stat earlier today that this team is now 5-0 in one-score games this year. No other team in the country can say that. Goes to show you that this team has learned how to win.
I think what pays the most dividends is learned how to get one of those on the road, right? Because, yeah. I mean, all the other four had been the four home games. That each one had gone down literally to the wire. So to get one on the road, I think, is key because, in my opinion, it's the lone reason Vegas had Arkansas State as an underdog in that game. Bendigo proved that they could, you know, win a close game on the road. So I think they did that, got bowl eligible. Now you come home for the last two. I mean, look, for all the ebbs and flows and ups and downs, like, this is a team that can still win 9 football games.
Yeah, that's really not that far-fetched that this team can win 9 football games. And we'll talk about what's coming up later on. As for the game itself, this is a game that was tied at 7 at the half. The defense really looked good from the start, and that continued the rest of the day. But defensively, number one, we gave up just 65 yards rushing. That was the fewest we've allowed all season long. 8 tackles for a loss, and we were bringing pressure all day, which is opposite from what we saw the week before when the Red Wolves did not have any tackles for a loss, couldn't create any pressure in Lafayette, but did such a much better job at that Saturday. And we also had a couple of turnovers again, 2 interceptions, 1 from Justin Parks in the first half, and Travion Thomas able to get a game-sealing interception in the final 2 minutes, much like he did in the Troy game.
Yep.
Last time we were at home. But I thought the defense did some really good things. And, you know, one guy that really shined was Brian Whitehead, who on Monday was named the Sun Belt Conference Defensive Player of the Week. He had career highs in tackles with 5 tackles for a loss. He had 3.5 and also had a career high 2 sacks in the ball game. But I thought it was really, really encouraging to see the defense after what happened in Lafayette, and I know they were embarrassed by what happened there, to come back and perform the way they did.
To every bit of that. When you can do all the things you just said, stop the run, and then get after the quarterback, that's the total package of a defensive performance there. And so to do both of those in the same game, you know, says an awful lot to the way you played defense.
I had gone in to do all the pregame stuff. Darian Griswold and I had gone in to see Coach Jones on Thursday afternoon, as we always do. As we're walking out, we run into Keith Heckendorf and always want to say hello to him and ask him a couple of things about what's coming up on Saturday. And, you know, my question when I went in to see him, first thing I asked him was, how do we attack these guys? And he said, I think we run it right at them. We did. We ran it right at them all day long, and he was right. I mean, we rushed for 261 yards in that game, which is 2nd most on the season, only behind the Southern Miss game. But it was great to see Jalen Reiner get so involved in the run game. He was efficient when he did throw the ball. He was 10 of 17 on the day, but we kept it on the ground primarily. He rushed for a career-high 114 yards, but everybody was getting involved. Zach Wallace had 62 rushing yards, rushed for a couple of scores. He's got 8 rushing touchdowns on the season now. Jaquez Cross had 76 yards on the ground. He also rushed for a touchdown. And no, Corey Rucker did not get his career receiving yards record, but
had it for a second.
I told Corey when we got on the plane, I kind of leaned down. I said, it's going to be better at home. So we'll break the record at home, hopefully this week against ULM.
You know, real quick, when you look at Jaquez and Zach, and they get 3 rushing touchdowns, but they did it on 76 and 62 yards respectively. To me, what's exciting about that is it means, like, when you look at those numbers, like, it tells you we grounded out some drives, right? It's not that Jaquez had a 76-yard rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
He had 76 yards that had, and his was 15 yards or so. So, I mean, they got into the red zone and capped off drives scoring touchdowns.
And the offensive line, such a big part of that, them being healthy, and they just seem to get better every single week. So the offense did some good things, and again, the ground game was the biggest part of that. Now, on special teams, Coach Jones thought we had an advantage there and thought we could really win the game through special teams, and arguably the biggest play of the game came early in the fourth quarter when Courtney Jackson returned a punt 57 yards, and then 2 plays later, we're able to get the touchdown from Jaquez. But, yeah, that was a huge play, and we had actually called timeout right before that punt return. But it was great to see special teams have a huge play. And speaking of special teams, how about Clune Van Andel?
How about, not Saturday, but just period, how about Clune Van Andel?
He gave us the lead in the final minute of the third quarter on a 44-yard field goal. Put us up 17-14, and then later on in the fourth quarter, with just under 8 minutes to go, he hits a career-long 52-yarder to put us up 10, and that happened to be his 16th consecutive field goal made, which breaks Josh Araco's school record for consecutive field goals. And I was telling the guys, of course, Jerry knew about it, JC knew about it, but I was telling Darian Griswold and Davey Stinchcomb, who are with us, about Josh Araco. Because Araco was
Araco-matic.
Araco was Araco-matic, but he came a little bit before Grizz's time. You know, Araco was 2006 to 2009. Yeah. It was fitting, I guess, that Van Andel from 52 would have been good from about 53 on that field goal because it cleared the crossbar. But Josh Araco, I was telling the guys, he was good from about 45 and in.
And nothing ever made it to the net.
If you needed him to hit a 40-yarder, he was going to give you 40 and a half.
Right. And that coaching staff, masterful in putting him in situations to succeed. And they knew then, because they put him in situations to succeed, he was going out there and getting you 3 points with inches to spare. But here's the other thing, back to Clune's day Saturday, and it kind of feeds off what we're just talking about with the running backs. So he hit 2 field goals, right? 44-yarder. Well, you subtract 17 from that, that means the line of scrimmage was the 27. 52-yarder means the line of scrimmage was the 35. Outside the red zone. As it goes back to, again, every time the team got in the red zone, they got a touchdown Saturday, and the 2 field goals they got were before you ever got to the red zone. So encouraging signs there for the offense.
Encouraging things all around. The Red Wolves now 6-4 overall. They're 4-2 in conference play, and they'll now return home for the final 2 games of the season, and we'll talk about what they have coming up this Saturday a little bit later on.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, and most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. Thank you and Wolves up.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. The volleyball team, Sun Belt Conference regular season champions. Congratulations to Brian Gerwig and his team. They went into Norfolk last week, won both matches against Old Dominion to win the championship outright. Now, it's the first regular season title since they were co-champions in 2016, but the first outright title since 2015.
So I'm going to make a confession here, not just for myself, but I think for a lot of my counterparts in the athletic department. Because of this stuff, you know, a week ago, we had to sit here and explain how we were already the West Division champions with a week to go when you're only a game ahead of somebody and still two games to play.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about how they put all this weight on the division record.
Yeah.
For the seeding. So that said, I think we all convinced ourselves nobody was going to be the regular season champion in the Sun Belt. That maybe winning the division was the most you could do. Until I think on Thursday or whatever, where the Sun Belt puts out an email kind of highlighting the weekend, like they do in all the sports. They put out this email from the Sun Belt Conference kind of laying out the weekend, and they're talking about all these scenarios and who needs to do what to be the regular season champion. Brian Gerwig told me Saturday at the men's basketball game, when he went to the locker room after the win Friday night, he didn't know they were the Sun Belt champions. And he said the team knew because you've seen the video. They're waiting for him, and they're all slinging the water bottles on him. He didn't know it.
That was a great video, by the way. He was getting doused as he turned the corner. And I think doused so much that he had to turn and kind of run out of the locker room. But good for them, man. What a season. 24-4 overall, 14-2 in Sun Belt play. And they're going to take a 9-match win streak into the conference tournament, which begins in Foley, Alabama on Thursday. Now, the Red Wolves, the number one seed in the West, they get the first round bye, and they're going to face the winner of Thursday's match between Coastal Carolina and Southern Miss, getting that bye into Friday's quarterfinals. They win that, they'll play in the semis on Saturday, and then hopefully in the championship match on Sunday.
Not bad for team pick sixth in the division.
Yeah, I'd say they've exceeded expectations.
I'm assuming, and maybe by the time you listen to this, if not, I would imagine before the tournament starts, you'll see the postseason awards come out. So I don't know them. I got no clue, but I have a hard time believing Brian Gerwig wouldn't be Sun Belt Coach of the Year.
Oh, gosh.
You pick sixth in the division and you win it outright, win the whole thing. I think that's Coach of the Year worthy there.
Yeah, and if anybody votes against Brian Gerwig, I'd like to know their reasoning there. But what a season. And I remember before the season, Sarah Martinez was in here on this podcast, and Coach Gerwig actually came in with her. I remember both of them talking about practices and just saying how excited they were. But even at that point, did they see 24-4 coming? I don't know. But they certainly liked their team even before the season started. Men's basketball with a couple of home victories this past week. It's always fun to beat Little Rock.
They sure did it
that
is.
Last Tuesday, 80-63, a game in which the Red Wolves were up 6 at the half. It was kind of a roller coaster in the second half because we went up double digits, and then Little Rock came back and got it to within 3, and then the Red Wolves able to stretch it back out and win it by 17.
It was interesting because I'll give Little Rock credit for fighting off the ropes, because I was sitting there watching that game unfold and going a big run early in the second half, even before the first media timeout. And like every time something would happen, I just kept looking. You know, it was a time where I was actually getting to watch the game, and I'd look at Daryl Walker thinking, well, he's calling timeout here. Nope, they turned it over and we got a dunk. Well, he's calling timeout here. Nope, and he just wrote it out. And so I was like, I can't believe they're not calling timeout. Yeah. They're trying to get to the first media, and then I'll give them credit. They didn't call timeout, and then they just fought their way back into it. Fought may be the right term, but they're physical.
They are, and look, they're the preseason pick to win the Ohio Valley for a reason. So that's a good basketball team, and our guys able to close the game strong. Red Wolves were plus 7 on the glass on the night. They had 20 offensive rebounds and also forced 17 turnovers. And you're seeing, and this is kind of the theme through the first few games, the Red Wolves, they broke all kinds of offensive records last year. And I think they're going to be just fine offensively once they get going. But they're winning games with defense right now. And that wasn't their strength a year ago. And now they're starting to win games with their defense. They're forcing turnovers. And Kobe Julian, who's in his seventh year of college basketball, set a career high with 6 steals in that game against Little Rock.
Well, as you mentioned, 20 offensive rebounds, which means 10 of those did not come on one possession, because I think the other 10 did. And of all things, it's a possession we didn't end up scoring
on.
I don't know if I've ever heard a crowd make so much noise over possession that didn't lead to points. They're getting really into all those offensive rebounds.
There was a lot of them. Terran Todd led the way against Little Rock. He had 17 points. And then I thought Rashad Marshall had one of the more interesting stat lines. He had no points, did not attempt a shot in 22 minutes, but he had 11 rebounds. I think the Red Wolves were plus maybe 19 when he was out there. So he made an impact without shooting the basketball. It was kind of a Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it is a Dennis Rodman stat line.
Rashad Marshall, a big part of that A-State win in front of a crowd of 5,187, the largest for the Red Wolves since 2017. Keep packing them in. Then another home game. On Saturday, the Red Wolves hosted Stephen F. Austin. Another great defensive game for the Red Wolves, held Stephen F. Austin to just 31% shooting. Now, the flip side of that is that the Red Wolves also shot 31%, but A-State, again, forced a lot of turnovers. They forced 16 turnovers, and they end up going on to a 59-49 victory in front of over 4,100 at First National Bank Arena on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, a couple of things to that. The first, to the game, and to your point about Little Rock, even more so here against Stephen F. Austin. You know, a year ago, this team's not winning a game it scored 59 points in. They pretty much beat Stephen F. Austin at its own game, right? They were going to come in here and try to muck stuff up, and they did. Like, it wasn't a work of art. Everybody, I get it. Like, right, you want to come in and you want to impose your will on everybody you play, and that's all well and good. But sometimes, I mean, kind of the mark of who can take that next step, championship teams can pick a day and beat somebody at their own game. And I think on this day, Arkansas State beat Stephen F. Austin at its own game.
Terran Todd was really good. He had a game-high 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. And, in fact, he was the only Red Wolf to finish in double figures on Saturday. But A-State improves to 3-1 on the year, and they'll wrap up the 3-game homestand coming up this Friday night. 7 o'clock tip time against Lane College. This is the lone non-Division I opponent of the year.
Back real quick to kind of the second point. You mentioned the crowd, just over 4,100. I was really, really, and I told a lot of my coworkers going into Saturday, I was really interested to see what the crowd would be like, because the only thing I would have predicted was that the student section would not be the same as it had been on the weeknights. Students are going to show up better on weeknights than they do the weekend. And that's probably not the same for the rest of the arena, but it's true in the student section, and it was true Saturday. There were a nice number of students there, but it was not the same as it had been those weeknight games.
Yeah.
And not the same as we'll see it come back to. But I went back yesterday, and I put this out on my social media or on my Twitter just kind of as a point of reference, because, you know, Saturday home games are different, especially in non-conference play. So I wanted to kind of see where things were. The first Saturday home game last year, because there weren't as many home games, period. So it was the third home game of the year, kind of like this one, but it didn't fall until December 7th against UAB, which we had pushed as being like the marquee non-conference home game, right?
Right.
It was a doubleheader where the men played UAB and the women played Louisiana Tech. So we had pushed that days as a real big thing, had paid, you know, money to have a national traveling halftime act come in and perform at both games. Really had put a lot into that game,
yeah.
And it drew, I think, 26.99 was okay. The announced crowd in the first Saturday home game of the year.
And compared to just other games in similar situations just in the recent past, that was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah. So you spin it forward a year, and the first Saturday home game is, you know, on November 16th. You got 3 weeks of football still to play. Here's another thing. The weather's nice.
Yeah.
And the truth is, like, if you're putting on an indoor event on Saturday, you're okay with it raining because it makes people kind of go inside to do something. So there's all these little things. And for the crowd then to be, you know, a little better than 4,100, it was a 53% increase from the first Saturday home game a year ago.
Fantastic.
I just wanted to kind of see that, kind of what that looked like. It's so interesting to look into the numbers.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. We talked about men's basketball. How about the women? They're off to a 2-1 start now. Yeah, they're winning the last couple of games, but it's the way they're winning that is really impressive and encouraging going forward. They defeated Mississippi Valley in the home opener on Wednesday, 114-54. So a 60-point win jumps off the page. But the 114 points, second most in program history. You go back to the game before at Arizona State, the win there where they scored 100 points. It's the first time to ever see the women's team have back-to-back games in which they've scored 100 points, and they also hit a school record 23-pointers on the day.
Yeah, it was something. Because here's what's amazing. There was several things amazing. But all those things you just mentioned, 114 points, 23s, this team, even with those numbers, had two not great stretches. Slow start in the first quarter, real slow start for probably the first 5 minutes or so of the third quarter. Matter of fact, they went 20-41 mm-hmm. from the three, and that includes coming out to start the third quarter and going 0-6.
Oh, wow.
So it was quite a performance for our fans to get to see the way they play defense, what Dez is doing. And you got to have kids buy into this because, right, nobody's playing. I mean, like I said, when Krislyn Rose had 33 points at Arizona State, she played 25 minutes. And that's about the most anybody's playing, because every 2 minutes or so, there are either four or five people standing at the scorer's table waiting to come in. And that's steady throughout the entire game.
Gotta love the pace.
So you gotta have kids buy into that. I think she's got a group of kids who don't mind who's playing all the minutes. They don't mind who's scoring all the points. And I think it's going to be somebody on different days. It's cool to see. And here's the thing about Mississippi Valley State. I honestly was a little bit, like, when I say concerned going into that game, I was like, you've kind of got to mind your P's and Q's here. This is a team that went to Memphis and got beat 11, went to Lipscomb, just got beat 13. They're in both games. And I mean, even Carol Halford, who, you know, does the TV with me, and we were sitting there talking before the game, she's like, I made the comment to her, I'm interested to see what happens when this team comes across somebody who won't let them just get out and run. And she goes, I think it's going to be this team right here. They better watch out. And that's us talking. That's not on TV kind of pumping. She and I sitting there talking. She's like, hey, better, you got to be ready. And so to come out then and score 114 points and win by 60 was a really great performance. And it was cool then to see our fans Saturday at halftime, the women's team, we brought them out on the floor at halftime of the men's game. And it was cool to see the kind of love the crowd gave them.
Yeah.
A big ovation. So the only downer is that they're not home again until December 7th. So that was the only home game in November.
They're on the floor several times before then, though, and that includes Tuesday night at Xavier. And then Sunday, they'll be in Fayetteville taking on the Razorbacks, and tip off of that one at 2 o'clock, and that'll be interesting.
Sure will.
Of course, everybody knows what's happening there with the Red Wolves facing former Red Wolf, Izzy Higginbottom, who's averaging 22 points a game through her first five games at Arkansas. So, should be interesting coming up on Sunday.
I'd agree with that.
Cross country competed at the NCAA South Central Regional Championships. That was in College Station back on Friday. The women's team finishing 12th out of 32 teams at regionals, and the men finishing 10th out of 32 teams. Jacob Pyatt, the Sunbelt Men's Runner of the Year, finishing 7th out of 190 runners at the event, and he was named All-Region for the third time in his career. And Jacob will advance as an individual to the NCAA Championships, the first A-State runner to do that since 2021. And that competition is coming up this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. in Madison, Wisconsin. And by the way, you can check that out on ESPNU.
Yeah, great performance for him, and can't wait to see what he does coming up this weekend.
Takes us back to football. The Red Wolves home for the final two games and excited about this Saturday. Our first afternoon kick at home this year as they take on ULM, looking for a 15th consecutive win over the Warhawks. Also trying to clinch a winning season for the first time since 2019. We can get to 7 this weekend. 6 wasn't the end goal here. We want to try to add on. Yes, we're all excited about the bowl game, but we want to keep it going. And you mentioned earlier, this is a team that has a legitimate chance with winning two games at home, going to a bowl to win 9 games this year. And you think about where this program was at just a very short time ago, that would be quite an accomplishment. And hopefully we can end the season on a high note here.
Get a chance, yeah, to do it at home. You might as well expect a good competitive ball game. If you don't, I'm not sure where you've been. You've not been to a home game this year. If you expect anything different, plus, again, what we just talked about with this league, ULM's trying to get some juice back. You know, they were kind of the talk of the town there for a minute early in the year with the start they got off to and a first-year head coach. And so they're trying to rekindle some of that. They certainly still have a chance to have a say in who wins the West by playing, us and the Cajuns the last 2 weeks. By the way, Arkansas State still mathematically in the hunt to win the West.
Yeah.
After last week's results.
You know, you hate to see a quarterback or anybody
right.
go down, but hated to see that for Ben Woolridge, who's been fantastic at quarterback for the Cajuns this season, but looks like he's out for the year now, and they're going to have to get it done without them. And of course they lost to South Alabama, and now they've got to face a Troy team that looks to be getting better every week. They went on the road and beat Georgia Southern this past Saturday, so that'll be interesting to see what happens in Lafayette on Saturday. But look, ULM's in the same spot that our guys were this past Saturday. They're going on the road trying to become bowl eligible. They're sitting at 5, and they've been sitting at 5.
Right.
But they know that if they're going to become bowl eligible, they only got 2 chances left, and you got to expect their best shot.
No doubt. And just, man, this league is really something. It's just, we talk about it every week.
But cannot compare scores.
No, gosh, no. You talk about fool's gold. You cannot do that because no score from this week means jack squat next week. I mean, it just, you just don't know what's going to happen. So being at home hopefully will help pay dividends. You know, we talk about kind of some stuff going on here. Kind of, we'll tie Friday night with the men's game and Saturday together. By the time you're listening to this, or you could be listening to it Tuesday, but from about Wednesday on, the men's basketball game is going to be kind of conducting a drive for the Food Bank of Northeast Arkansas.
Yeah.
So you can actually go by the lower level red entrance during the week or one of the ticket booths Friday night. If you make a donation to the Food Bank of Northeast Arkansas, then you can get a free ticket to the game Friday night. A football ticket will get you into the men's basketball game and vice versa. If you have a men's basketball ticket, you can show that Saturday and get into the football game. Because, you know, people will be coming to town, hopefully for both. You know, a lot of our school kids probably this week, if you're in Northeast Arkansas, probably saw a voucher that would get you into the game and let your parents come in at the group rate. So, you know, getting down the stretch here, two important games. And realistically, and knowing that we got to go find some people to make up for the juice, that's the student section probably won't be, look the exact same, right? It stands to reason our kids, our Arkansas State students, aren't on campus when Saturday rolls around, or probably even when Friday night rolls around. Now, campus has done a great job of keeping housing open until noon Sunday for the kids that do want to stick around, and I think some will, but, I mean, it may not look the exact same it's looked this year up to this point, so it's up to the rest of us. Like, I think so much of our energy at our facility start with the student section, but the rest of us might have to lift them up here these last couple. And by the way, love to come back here next week and say that wasn't true. I was wrong, and the students were there in full force. But you got to be prepared for them to not be. And I do think what's interesting is I'm looking forward to having a big group of international students. I think you're going to come and catch the game and have some space at the patio at the Pines to watch. Maybe for some of them, maybe it's their first football game they've been to. So it'll be a big weekend. Barton's is the game sponsor. They're giving away earmuffs.
Okay.
And it might be right on time for the second half of that game. You know, the high Saturday, it's going to be sunny, but the high is just like in the low to mid-50s.
Okay. So good day to have it's gonna earmuffs.
Be, you know, second half of that might be earmuff weather for some of you softer ones out there. Also, speaking of kind of bringing the juice, we're giving out 2,500 pairs of Thunder Sticks Saturday.
All right. Making it a little bit louder.
Yeah, crank it up a little bit.
I love it. Anything else? We cover it all?
Yeah, I think so. Just listen, I know people like to get on here and hear guests, and we love having them, but this past week was a week worth us just spending some time breaking down. It was a great week to be a Red Wolf.
It's always a great week to be a Red Wolf, but this was a pretty perfect week.
Yep.
On the field and off. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.